Welcome once again. It is Pop Culture Network Radio. This is November 8th, 2013. And this is a news show, an all-news show. No feature this week. We are going to be talking toys. We're going to be talking comic books. We're going to be talking a little bit of wrestling. We're going to be talking one video game. And no, it's not the one you think. We got some... just lots of stuff to talk about this week, and so we're just going to fill it up with news, because I know a lot of you guys just want to hear what's happening out there. And so that's what we're going to do. And first up, last weekend was the Kamikaze comic book convention, and this was Stan Lee's show that he, quote-unquote, hosts. And Maddie Palooza had a panel there. It's one of the things that they've been doing in the last few years, is doing a lot of these convention shows. And they showed off some of the upcoming figures for the Masters of the Universe Classics line. And the first one they showed, they showed off a sword at New York Comic Con. And the sword was just a... like a tease, like a clue, a hint of who was coming. They revealed that that sword, in fact, belongs to Flutterina from Princess of Power. So both of you who have been desperately waiting for that figure to come out, well, there you go. She is scheduled for August 2014 as part of Club Eternia, which most likely means that she will... not make it to Day of Sale. She will, I'm guessing she'll be subscription only, because it's Flutterina from Princess of Power. One of the other things that they did show is that the third quarterly item for Club Eternia in 2014 is going to be the new Adventures version of Skeletor. New design from the Four Horsemen comes with a removable power staff and a battle-damaged Faker head that you use on your Faker figure that you already have. So, my Faker figure is actually my Disco He-Man. Did some customizing on that one. So I've got a Disco Skeletor. I've got several Disco Skeletors and a Disco He-Man. But New Adventures Skeletor, which I guess I'll have to get my hands on one of those so I can get a Disco version of that. But a lot of people looking forward to that figure. Our sale from Medi Collector that's going to be happening on the 15th, early access on the 14th, 8 a.m. to Friday, 8 a.m., the 14th and 15th, subscribers only. You can go ahead before the sale officially starts, pick up a DCU Constantine and Elastigirl. And also, if you want, you can pick up some Classics stackable stands. Starting at 9 a.m. Pacific, open to everybody, they will have Constantine, Elastigirl, and Ra's al Ghul, which is the Club Infinite Earths figure. Geldor, without his sticker sheet, will be available. Stackable stands, and the Club Black Freighter figure of Ozymandias. Now, if you're a subscriber for Club Eternia, you will get Geldor with his sticker sheet. Woo. And if you are a Club Filmation subscriber, you will get Seahawk. Yeah. But Geldor with a sticker sheet and Seahawk will not be sold during All Access. They will not be on sale to the general public, subscription only. So if you really wanted those figures, hopefully you have those subscriptions. There you go. One thing that is kind of interesting to note here. They have stars that say things can sell out early access. Constantine and Elastigirl and the stackable stands. I guess the stackable stands is really like a big deal. Like that's available on early access and it may sell out by early access. It may not make it to all access. So if you really want those Masters of the Universe Classics stackable stands, you better make sure you get in there as early as you can on Thursday, because they may not make it out to the general public. Something to keep in mind. Switching gears quickly, let's go over to some Transformers news. First up, it looks like our masterpiece Ultra Magnus, coming out August 2014, is going to be running with the price of $259.99. I don't believe that we had a price before. I think before the price was pending or to be revealed, to be announced, whatever, to be determined. But now it looks like that price is, in fact, $259.99 if you want Masterpiece Ultra Magnus. I'm guessing, because they're still using the picture of the old G1 Ultra Magnus, I'm guessing that they're using the Masterpiece Ultimate Prime... Masterpiece Optimus Prime for Ultra Magnus, and then just making all those accessories that snap on, which is why he's so gosh dang expensive. Let's see, what else do we have? If you think that you're just not spending enough on Transformers, and you think, boy, I really like them, but I don't know, the $259.99 just isn't enough to spend on a Transformer, then Action Toys has a fully licensed Optimus Prime, the 17-inch Ultimetal Optimus Prime, coming out this December, just in time for Christmas. Okay, let's talk about this figure a little bit before I hit the price. How much would you pay? How much would you pay for this awesome Optimus Prime? He is made of mostly die-cast metal. There's a few plastic pieces here and there, but pretty much it's a die-cast metal figure. He has breakaway body pieces, so you can pull off the cover to, like, his arms, his legs, his chest, and you can see the robotics underneath. You can see the pistons, you can see the supports, you can see the gears on all these parts of his body. His chest opens, he's got the Matrix of Leadership. The Matrix of Leadership has an LED, so it lights up and glows. Both eyes in Optimus Prime have their own LED so that his eyes will light up. He can speak 20 different phrases, so he can say all of your favorite lines from the history of Transformers. He's got 4 sound effects. Again, he's 17 inches tall, and he's fully licensed. This is not a knockoff. This is not third party. This is Action Toys is making this, but it's 100% legit. How much would you expect to pay? 17 inches, metal, LEDs, Matrix of Leadership, breakaway body. If you're thinking, man, I would really like to pay $800 for that, then you're in luck, because the base price is $799.99. Woo! So there you go. Not only that, but if you live in the United States, it will only cost you $109.29 to have it shipped. That's right. Only an extra $109.29. So if you're thinking, wow, $800 is great, but I really wish I could pay $900, then they've got that covered. If you live in Japan, it'll be $56. If you live in Canada, it'd be $100. Australia would be $132. United Kingdom, $99. So I guess for the first time ever, maybe Canada's getting a better deal on shipping. I'm not exactly sure how that works out in the long run. But I know some of you are thinking, boy, $800, $100 shipping, that's great, but I'd really like to pay even more than that. You're thinking maybe I could get a slightly bigger Transformer, a different version of Optimus Prime that would cost more money. Well, guess what? You guys are in luck, because they are doing a second run of the 20-inch Optimus Prime from Dark of the Moon. This is cold cast resin with PVC parts. He's got ratchet shoulder and hip joints. He's got the light up eyes. He's got rubber tires, electroplated and photo etched metal parts, interchangeable battle mode and normal mode, energy swords and battle axe, individually numbered, to be released this month. Second production run. He does not come with the base that originally came in the first production run, but you can still pick this guy up at the amazingly low price of $1,199. So there you go. Limited edition to 500 units, each one individually numbered. $1,200 for the 20-inch Optimus Prime. Now, here's the fun thing. Here's the fun thing. On both of these, it looks like they don't actually transform. They're just in robot mode. If they do transform, then they've got the worst PR possible because they don't have any photos or information about actually transforming it into an alt mode. So it looks like for these amazingly low prices, you're going to get robots that are not in any way disguised. They are actually less than meets the eye. But let's talk some fun stuff, some good stuff going on. If you've been paying attention to Transformers recently, they've been doing these IDW packs where you can pick up a Transformer and get a comic book. And they usually run $12-$13. You can find them on sale a lot of times, $8, $9, $10, depending on where you go and what the special is. They're releasing more of these in January. You're getting a Starscream, a Skywarp, and Scoop. That's right, Scoop, the dinosaur, the pterodactyl or whatever he is. But the one that really caught my attention, this is awesome that they're doing this one, the Minicon 3-pack. The Minicon 3-pack, you've got your helicopter, you've got your jet, you've got your tank. Each one transforms into a robot, but then they combine. Yes, these are Minicon combiners, and they combine together to make the just the big, awesome-looking robot guy. And so I'm actually looking forward to that. That looks super dang cool. Gosh dang diddly darn it, that looks awesome. So I'm going to have to keep my eye on that one. Especially, you know, that $10 to $12 price point is a pretty good deal. All right, moving on. Let's talk maybe about Lego. Lego announced their new series, which they are calling their Lego the Movie line, which will feature a lot of characters appearing in the upcoming Lego the Movie in February of 2014. 16 minifigs will be part of this collection. William Shakespeare, Abraham Lincoln, the Panda Guy, which is a guy in a panda suit. It looks like he actually has a removable head, so you can see that there's a guy in the suit, has the eyes cut out. You have the Queen of the Mermaids, Velma Staplebot, Scribble Face Bad Cop, which I'm not sure what Scribble Face is, but looks like he comes with an iPhone. Whatever. You have the Wild West Wild Style, Gale the Construction Worker, Where Are My Pants Guy, which this is better than Lego Abraham Lincoln. This is a guy. It's your basic Lego minifigure. He's wearing a Hawaiian t-shirt, but he comes with fleshy colored legs and then a second set of legs that are white. So it's like you could pop off the fleshy legs and put the white legs on him and he's wearing pants, or you put on those flesh colored legs, he is not wearing pants. That is fantastic. You have Mrs. Scratch and Post, Wily Fusebot, President Business, the Calamity Drone, the Taco Tuesday Man, and Larry the Barista. What's sure to be the most sought after is the one based off the legendary hero Hard Hat Emmett, which is a construction worker guy. Just kind of your basic Lego construction worker. But there you go. These are, of course, blind bag mystery figures, which means pain in the butt to try to get the one you want. But definitely worth picking up some of those. I think No Pants Guy, Abraham Lincoln, and the Taco Tuesday Guy are my top three out of that line. I'll be looking forward to getting some of those. All right, switching over to comics. Several weeks ago, Jay Piscopo, who does the Nemo Publishing comics, the kind of all-ages sci-fi themed comics, he was doing the Captain Midnight books before Dark Horse picked up and trademarked the book for whatever reason. He posted something on his Facebook page asking people what they thought about comic books being in the grocery store. You know, it used to be that you went into the grocery store and comics were on the end caps at the checkout, you know. Nowadays, you can still find a lot of the, like, Archie Digest and stuff like that. But he asked, you know, just what people thought about it. And a lot of people kind of missed, you know, comics in the grocery stores. And so he announced this week that he's made a deal with the Hannaford grocery chain. These are stores across the New England area. If you're in the New England area, you can go in and you can pick up two Undersea Adventures of Captain Eli shrink-wrapped together for $10. Now, normally, the comics are $10 a piece. These are kind of like graphic novels, more than just, you know, regular little comics. But they are selling the bundles for $10 a piece. And it looks like this is the idea of kind of getting your foot in the door. And if he can get some interest and they can make some sales, then maybe more of the stuff from Nemo Publishing will be making it in there. And maybe even open it up some more indies. So that'd be cool. But the Adventures of Captain Eli, they will have some pinups by guys like Steve Rude and Howard Chaykin. So stuff like that in there. If you want to check that out, and you don't, I mean, you're not in New England. You got no way of getting there. You don't know anybody there. You don't have to, you know, call up Aunt Mabel, who you hate talking to, and try to talk her into going to the grocery store and picking them up for you. You can actually go to their website, CaptainEli.com. Actually, it's CaptainEli. Like Captain Crunch, you know, the Cap'n. You can go to CaptainEli.com. You can pick up that pack for $10, and they will ship it to you. And while you're there, you can actually pick up the Captain Eli soda. They have their own root beer and soda. So there you go. Now, some of the other, like, actual comic book news this week. I just wanted to point that out. I thought that's a fun story. But the couple big stories this past week is that Marvel has announced there's a new Captain Marvel comic on the horizon. And the new version of Captain Marvel is going to be a woman of Pakistani descent who is a Muslim. And this is apparently a big deal. I guess. I wasn't aware that just the fact that someone is of a different religion makes it a big deal. This is supposed to be a selling point for a bunch of people. Whatever. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, as long as the story's good, who cares? But if that's the whole hook, is, you know, that, I mean, she's a Muslim, then I don't see it really lasting that long. But, you know, like I said, story's good, people will read it. And if they don't, then I don't know what to tell you. Other news coming out from, this is from DC this time. There are two new books coming in February, specials, that will feature Lois Lane in a Superman tie-in, and then a Batman tie-in will be Joker's daughter. Now, Joker's daughter, of course, appeared in Catwoman, and she got a special Villains Month book, and it was highly speculated. People were paying like $30-$40 for this book before it even came out because they wanted the 3D Joker's daughter Villains book. And then when the book actually came out, you found out that she's not really related to the Joker. She's just this crazy woman lived in the sewers, and she found Joker's face, like the skin that had been cut off his face floating in the sewer. So she picked it up and put it on and claimed that she was Joker's daughter, but she's really... So they're trying to push the character. I mean, of course it makes sense for them because they had this book that suddenly became like this huge big deal, worth a lot of money, a lot of speculation. So they're pushing it, you know, going to have this special for her, but I just don't know if this is going to take off, considering that you found out once you read the book that it really isn't a connection with Joker, and really the character kind of sucks. But this time around, both of these books, Superman Lois Lane number one and Batman Joker's Daughter number one, are both being written by Marguerite Bennett. Marguerite Bennett wrote a backup story in Batman Annual number two, which is okay. And then she also wrote the Lobo story in Villains Month, Justice League 23.2, which introduced the new Lobo, got rid of the 90s Rob Liefeld parody character, and brought in this new Lobo who's actually more like Hannibal Lecter, which I thought was a good move. It was a good book. It was good artwork. It was well written. So if she can make something happen with Joker's daughter that doesn't suck, you know, I at least have faith in her ability as a writer. Lois Lane, though, she's basically it's focusing on her family, her sister Lucy, her dad, the general, all of that kind of stuff. And Brainiac will make a reappearance in it. So you can look forward to both of those coming out in February. Let's see. Let's talk a little bit of wrestling news. First of all, sad story to report is that Roland Alexander passed away. He was the owner of All Pro Wrestling. He was the guy in Beyond the Mat. If you've seen Beyond the Mat, and I would assume anybody who's talking about wrestling has seen that documentary. If you haven't, then you owe it to yourself to go out and watch that. But basically, he was the guy who was training Mike Modest. And Mike Modest, he thought, was going to be the next big thing. He was working as his agent, I guess you could say. He had trained him and was bringing him up to, you know, try to get him a job in the big leagues. Didn't really work, but he's part of that story. He did, as part of his, you know, training group, he did train Crash Holly, Vic Grimes, Great Khali, which, I mean, you know, did as best he could, I guess you could say. Also Spike Dudley. So there you go. Sarah Del Rey came out of his school. He also was a big guy who promoted the King of the Indies tournament out in California. The King of the Indies tournament is basically what inspired Ring of Honor. The guys at RF Video, Gabe Sapolsky, Rob Feinstein, they saw it and they decided to start Ring of Honor. It's really King of the Indies that, you know, brought out guys like Low Ki and Samoa Joe and Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, Bryan Danielson, Brian Kendrick. All of these type of guys basically came out of the King of the Indies. Like, that's what got them recognized, was the King of the Indies tournament. So he definitely had an eye for talent. Even if it wasn't necessarily people who always came through his school, he at least saw people out there who were, you know, worth promoting, and put together that tournament and got a lot of those guys noticed. Some other news from WWE. There were some firings going on. We don't have all the details. This just happened, I believe, on Wednesday. But the guy who was Triple H's main assistant, Pete Leone, however you pronounce that, he was fired. He was basically Triple H's right-hand man. He was his go-to guy. No word yet on whether Triple H fired him or if this is something that came from the company. Maybe unhappy with Triple H. You know, Triple H was a big supporter of bringing in Sin Cara, bringing in Alberto Del Rio and, you know, some of that stuff. And it just really hasn't worked out. So, I don't know. But anyway, there's a new head of talent relations. There were some shakeups there. The woman who was head of talent relations has now moved to a different job in the office. There's a new head of talent relations, but it hasn't been announced who it is. So that'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. But basically changes going on in WWE corporate on the back end of the show. TNA Impact this week. Not a great show. They had a really good main event. Main event was Jeff Hardy, Chris Sabin in a Full Metal Mayhem match. It was a stunt match. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't a lot of psychology to it, but it was, you know, good match for what it was. The rest of the show, they had way too many promos in the show. They had about 9,000 pull-aparts between Bobby Roode and Kurt Angle. The big story, though, main event Mafia broke up. They basically came out and said, you know what, we've basically we took the title off of Bully Ray. We've knocked the aces and eights down to basically nothing. It doesn't really matter much anymore, so we're all just kind of breaking up, and they all just kind of, you know, shook hands and left. And Magnus was really the only guy who seemed to have some heat with the other guys just because of who he is, but that was about it. They did an aces and eights breakup angle, which actually worked out really well. They had all the guys in the ring, and they were voting on whether or not to keep the group together or to leave, and Nux left, and Bischoff left, and Taz left, so it was Bully all by himself, and Ken Anderson came out to laugh at him, and as he was laughing at him, Nux and Bischoff ran out from behind and attacked him, and it was all a swerve. They staged this whole breakup just so they could attack Ken Anderson, which is, I mean, this is classic pro wrestling angle. This one actually worked. This one made sense. This one was okay. A lot of the other stuff on the show was just kind of stupid. They did a knockouts match, which basically they had a triple threat. ODB, Velvet Sky, and Brooke Tessmacher were doing a knockouts match for the number one contendership. And Gail Kim, Lady Tapa came out, and they just basically interfered in the match. So it was a DQ, match was over. And because Gail Kim, I guess, came out and broke up the number one contenders match, she claims there is no number one contender, so therefore she's making an open challenge to anyone outside of TNA to come and try to take her title because she's defeated everybody in TNA, which isn't true necessarily because she hasn't beaten Lady Tapa, but Lady Tapa's on her side, so it doesn't really matter. So I don't know if this is like their opening to try to bring somebody in or if this is going to be Lady Tapa turning against Gail Kim, but I guess we'll just have to kind of wait and see. They did show on this episode of Impact AJ Styles wrestling in AAA in Mexico. He is the TNA World Champion. He left with their belt. He's doing... The idea is that he's doing what CM Punk should have done a couple years ago in WWE. So he is down in Mexico wrestling for TNA. They played a technically what was supposed to be a commercial, as if he bought commercial time during Impact to show this video of him wrestling in Mexico. And it was, you know, sponsored by Friends of AJ Styles or, you know, something along those lines. And it was a minute long, maybe, and it showed, like, you know, 5 seconds of this match he had in TNA, or, I mean, in AAA. It did the point of what it was supposed to do, but if you think about TNA is losing money hand over fist, think about the fact that they took AJ Styles, they put him on a plane, they flew him to Mexico, they sent a camera crew. They filmed him wrestling a match, which, you know, obviously he got paid for. They put him on a plane and brought him back home, and they used 1 minute. They used less than 1 minute. They put a 1 minute video package together and used 5 seconds of footage from this match. Like, it made sense. You know, wrestling angle storyline, he bought time as a commercial on the show to run this video package to show him with the title. Like, as far as that goes, that makes perfect sense as a wrestling angle. But as a company losing so much money, the fact that they would send him down to do this, what they should have done, here's what they should have done, is ran the ad as if to say, come to AJ Styles, you know, personal YouTube page and you can watch the match, you know, like go find his channel and, you know, he could issue challenges to TNA from his channel. You know, he could do whatever to show that he's not, you know, tied down to what Dixie Carter wants and on and on and on. Like there's all sorts of stuff they could do with it in order to make a better return on their investment of sending him down there. But they just basically pissed away a bunch of money to have him on TV for 1 minute in some other territory. So, I mean, it's along the right idea, but still not done the way it needed to be. The other big thing about this episode of Impact is they had a former world title holder returning. And this was like a big secret. Like, who's the world former world title holder returning? Like, who could it be? Who's coming back? Oh my gosh, is it Ric Flair? Is he coming back? Is it, you know, like, who is it? Is it Kevin Nash? Is he coming back? Like, who is it that's coming back? Turns out it's Pac-Man Jones. Now, when I saw the announcement that it was Pac-Man Jones, I basically, you know, tweeted out, I have no idea who Pac-Man Jones is. Like, apparently a lot of people do. I'm not one of them. And someone reminded me, well, several people reminded me, that basically he is a football player. Okay, sure, I don't watch football, so that explains that. But he was in TNA several years ago. He was a tag team title holder with Ron Simmons. No, not Ron Simmons. sorry about that. Kay Quick. What's his name? R-Truth. I forget what his name was in... He was just the Truth, right? I don't remember. Anyway, Ron Killings. Yeah, that's who it is. So, but at the time, he was under contract with the NFL, and whatever contract he had with his team, he couldn't actually participate in the matches. Like, he couldn't have contact with somebody else. He couldn't take a move or give a move. So they had these matches where R-Truth would go in and just beat everybody up for 5 minutes. And then he would tag in Pac-Man Jones, and Pac-Man would go for the cover, and then they win. And but then he was gone in like a month, you know, or 3 weeks or something like that. Like, it was not... It was something that they tried to do to get headlines, but it wasn't that big of a deal. And so he returned, and he did a body slam, and he was there with some other football player, and they attacked Bad Influence, Kazarian, and Daniels, and they got a big pop from the hometown crowd. But, I mean, I don't know that it's leading anywhere. I don't know that it's going to anything, but there you go. So I don't know if it's just the fact that, you know, they were in the right place at the right time, and he was going to be there, and they were like, hey, come on the show. But I don't think it's going to be any sort of gigantic deal. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for regular news. Just a couple quick notes about Pop Culture Network. We will be recording a new episode of the show this weekend. I know what you're thinking. What? That's right. We are doing one. We have a toy to review. A mystery toy sent to us by a new company. A company that's never sent us a review sample of any kind before. Sent us a review sample, and this is something that Killen and I are going to have to set up a table and sit down and play with in order to show you how it works. It's a phenomenal toy that I know my son is going to freak out as soon as he sees. So we'll be recording that this weekend. Plus, we will have some news on that show about the show. Because the show... You know, it hasn't been regular because, as I've spoken about on this show before, the show was meant to fulfill a specific need on the network, and part of that was going to be we were going to be in our new location, we were going to have, you know, a set that we were going to be filming from, and we were going to have, you know, regular segments that we were going to do as part of the show, and, you know... People we tried to make deals with for leases, for space, just weren't working out. And anyway, without getting into the whole story here, we will have an announcement about that this upcoming episode of the show. So we will be recording that, I believe, Sunday afternoon. Sunday evening. So look for it late Sunday night or early Monday. A lot of the times when we film those, it's, you know, they're like 17 gigs. We got to compress them down, which takes forever. And then you got to upload it, which takes forever. And then YouTube has to process it, which takes forever. So even if we're done at like 4 in the afternoon on Sunday, it takes like 16 hours of processing and compressing and uploading and, you know, YouTube processing and everything else. So anyway, look for that late Sunday, early Monday morning. Hopefully we should have that out and to you. But yes, new episode of the show coming up. Plus, I still have to review The Gambler on Blu-ray, which I haven't done yet, but I will have to do that this weekend because Scotty Cash is getting on my case about that. Yes, actually, Scotty Cash is getting on my case about getting that done, which I need to do. So look for that coming up in the next couple days. And that's going to wrap it up for the show, this show. not the show, but this show. Don't forget, if you have any questions or comments, you can send me an email, dirt@popculturenetwork.com. You can tweet me, PCN_dirt. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/VGLosers. You can send me a voicemail. It's area code 217-953-4025. That's our 24-hour voicemail line. You can leave a message. Or you can go to jointheforums.com, the official forums of the Pop Culture Network. You can go to the section on the show, because that's where we post Pop Culture Network Radio. You can leave questions or comments there. So that's going to do it for this week, guys. If you want a feature next week, if you got something in particular you want to talk about, whatever, drop me a line at one of those places I just spoke about. Otherwise, thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys next time.